Hudson Hall in Hudson, New York presents artists Marina Bielak and Care, an exhibition documenting the unseen process of caring for someone with Alzheimer's, in this case, the artist's mother-in-law, Dorothy. Through charcoal drawings, fresco, sculpture, and painting, Bielak's installation delves into the different roles that the act of caretaking requires from each person involved, including the patient herself. The exhibition opens with a reception with the artist on February 2nd from 5 to 7, featuring a performance of an original song composed for the exhibition by Memphis-based pianist Michael Janes. The piece is inspired by Janes' own experience caring for his mother, also an Alzheimer's sufferer. Molly McCann is Associate Director of Programs and Services, Diversity and Inclusion Initiatives at the Alzheimer's Association of Northeastern New York, and who will also be speaking at the event. So we welcome Molly. We also welcome Marina Bielak to the program this morning. Thank you both for being with us. What a great pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us.
A great pleasure to have you with us. So Hudson-based Ukrainian artist, how did all of this come together, Marina?
So this show, I think it's a good example for me as an artist when I didn't have to look for subject matter. I didn't have to figure out what to paint or what to sculpt, because the theme for this project really found me through my everyday experience of sharing an intimate space with my mother-in-law, Dorothy, who happened to have Alzheimer's. So taking care of someone who suffers from such a devastating disease inevitably influenced my studio practice. It was 5 years ago when I met Dorothy. Unfortunately, when I met her, she was already sick. And, you know, a lot of people tell how beautiful it is to take care of a loved one. But the reality of taking care of someone with advanced Alzheimer's is more insane than any art of war can express. There's everyday conditions caregivers have to go through. There's a lot of work, physical and, more importantly, emotional. My husband Maurice and I, we became caregivers during our dating period, which is quite unusual. Usually married couples go through such experience after 20, 30 years of marriage. So having Dorothy progressing with her disease and living with us really put some challenges on our relationship, because it, from the beginning, it was really hard to walk into a relationship and not just trying to build that relationship, but also deal with the fact that there's someone else who needs a lot of help. So very often I would run to my studio in order to take a break, in order to escape just for a few minutes. And I was hoping that my studio was just my happy place. And It was impossible, because still all my thoughts were focused on this experience that my husband and I had to go through. So one day I was standing in my studio, I looked around, and I started noticing patterns in my artwork. I saw that this experience of caring for someone really influencing what I'm doing in my happy place. So I decided consciously invite that family situation we had into my studio and consciously navigate my creativity and dedicate it. And thus my mother-in-law, Dorothy, became my model. And the body I watched, I touched, I washed so many times became an inspiration for the active studio process. And now looking back, I think the fact that I'm an artist and the art making was the only thing that I never gave up during the caregiving process really saved me, and I can say saved my marriage.
When you in the art itself, what is it that helped? My understanding of it is you think it helped all parties involved.
Yeah.
You, your husband, and Dorothy.
Yes, definitely. Because Dorothy, my mother-in-law, she loves attention and she needs attention. And when she was modeling for me, I can say she would go to this stage that we call normal. She just felt that there's something happening around her that is dedicated to her. And me as an artist, I love making art. So we combine those two things. Dorothy as a model, she is just perfect. She has wonderful features that are perfect for sculpture, for painting. So thus, she had her care and I had my care. It helped to all of us. And I think more I work with Dorothy as a model really helped me to connect to her and care more about her. I think it may sound ridiculous, but I really had to learn how to love Dorothy, because she, in the beginning, she was just this strange woman to me. But more I painted her portraits, more I sculpted her body, more connected I felt to her.
So let's bring Molly into this conversation, because I'm curious as to, I mean, obviously not all caretakers are artists, mm-hmm. but it is that process of caretaking and understanding and being with someone with Alzheimer's and feeling many of the thoughts that Marina has put into the art itself.
Yeah, and you know, Marina brings up a great point that having an outlet, and that's something that at the Alzheimer's Association, we try to meet with families and give them that support so they're able to still do the things that they love to do. And I met Marina and Maurice about 2 years ago when they were in the middle of their caregiving journey and things were getting really overwhelming. And I remember talking to Marina about things that she loves to do, things that Maurice likes to do. And art was a huge piece of her life. So we tried to connect them to resources that they could still have those things that they love to do. And it doesn't just have to be art. There's so many things that caregivers give up because they are focused on their loved one. Their life becomes taking care of their loved one with Alzheimer's disease.
So there is, you know, you said really in the thick of it, but that's sort of, I guess, that's how people always feel, right? I mean, there's no normal day, is there?
Mm-mm. There isn't a normal day. And it becomes a challenge to just still have that routine. But I think Maurice and Marina, they're an amazing example of, they met and talked to professionals and sought out resources. So their new normal was, they were able to get through their day, and that's so important that they asked for help.
I was struck when you said that it helped save your marriage. I mean, you were worried about that.
Oh, yeah, because our problem was also that we really knew nothing about this disease. I mean, we heard that it exists,
sure.
But what it entails to be a caregiver, it was just too much. And on the beginning, we kind of tried to be heroes. We thought that we could do it all on our own. And then 1 year passes, another one, and we feel like we're getting completely exhausted. And at some point, we felt like we need help. And Molly McKen was the first person who came to our house and started talking about our well-being. We were so surprised. We were shocked that there's also this conversation that goes about helping people who take care of someone who suffers from this disease. So with this show, I hope that people see it and perhaps go home and Google one more time what this disease is about. Because if I would know everything what I know now, I think Maurice and I would make less mistakes, and our caregiving process would be less stressful if we know what we know now. And hopefully also people seeing my show, maybe it will help to remove the stigma, because I know there's still a lot of people who are ashamed, who are embarrassed, who are fearful to talk about their family member who has this disease, unfortunately. And when I approached my husband, with the idea of having this show, he was a bit apprehensive on the beginning, but now he is very happy that we're doing it and that we talk publicly about what we have to deal in our family, because this problem is not just our problem. There's so many families in this country and worldwide who have to deal with this.
So there's one thing you just said that I will, not to argue the point with you, because obviously you know this better than I do, but there really isn't, I understand what you mean, but the mistakes are always, that's a part of it, right? I mean, you don't know it's a mistake until you're doing it, and I understand the desire to have people avoid what you go through, but that is part of the process, isn't it?
Yeah, but for example, I mentioned that we wanted to do it on our own. We thought we could do it.
Yes.
And that was like the first and the biggest mistake.
Right.
I would recommend everyone embrace every little help you can get. Because we...
Create a team.
Yeah, because in the beginning, we kind of refuse it very mm-hmm. often. People would suggest some little help and say, oh, no, we are fine, we're good, but we weren't.
And but going through that, I mean, obviously there are mistakes to be made, but you work through the process and get to understand it all.
Yeah, yep. And the other piece is that with this disease, every day is a new day.
Right.
So one approach might work one day, and you might have to think about things a little bit differently. So it is a process where there are mistakes that are made, but you definitely learn from them.
And no patient is the same, right? So
no.
It's difficult to come in and say it's going to be this way because we don't know that.
Right. Everyone is different with the disease.
The installation focuses on the tangible and the personal, incorporating clothing, nail clippings, hair, and plaster casts of hands and feet. That was important to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of materials and media I use for this show, and I think the variety of it really speaks to different situations of care that we had to go through. So there is acrylic paintings, there's fresco paintings, there's clay sculptures, there's plaster sculptures, and then there's these installations where I use parts of the beds, of Dorothy's beds, because during this time of the last 5 years, we had to incorporate her needs. So I use some of her clothes, for example, because that's another characteristic of this disease. Very often people do not recognize their own items. So I incorporated a lot of things, including personal items like Dorothy's sewing machine, for example. We did a lot of casting, and one work is particularly interesting. It's actually a collaboration. I invited everyone I could to my studio who helped us in one way or another, either it was physical help or emotional support. I mixed some plaster, and every individual was holding that paste of plaster in their hands, which hardens pretty fast. And then each piece was framed individually. It is anonymous. There's no names. And I hope people who come to the show, they will have their little fun trying to figure out which one is theirs.
As for Dorothy, she still lives with you?
Yes. That's the plan. She will stay with us until the end.
So you're still going through this.
Oh, yes.
I mean, so in other words, I'm not, but I would assume then the art is not done. This is a snapshot, and this project goes on.
Exactly, and there's a few pieces. When you look at the dates, there will be, for example, 2014 present. It's still going on.
Yeah.
And this work that I mentioned with casting hands, we will go on, because this work really shows how many hands you need to take care of one person who suffers from this disease. So, yes, a lot of work, continue progress.
And Molly, you help letting people know that there are hands available.
Yes. Yep. And I just want everyone to know, too, that we have a really helpful helpline that operates 24/7. The number is 1-800-272-3000. 3900. There's always a dementia specialist available to talk to anyone. You're not alone in this.
Well, the exhibit is Marina Bielak Care. It's on view at Hudson Hall at the historic Hudson Opera House in Hudson from February 2nd through March 17th, hudsonhall.org. The exhibition opens with a reception with the artist on February 2nd from 5 to 7. Yes, Michael Janes will be there, and you will be speaking as well, Molly. So a lot going on for the event on February 2nd. You can find out more by going to hudsonhall.org. We have links to all of this, including to the Alzheimer's Association of Northeastern New York and Hudson Hall, by going to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Thank you both for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.